Friends, turn with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 18 for our meditation upon God's truth this morning. As we look especially at the words of verse 10 of this chapter, Proverbs 18 and verse 10 read, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." Friends, here's a very comforting word for you and for me this morning. Think of these words with me just now. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous, that is the God-fearers, you and me as Christian believers, as we turn to that strong tower, turn to our Lord, we are safe, we are secure in that tower, in the Lord God himself. This is a text which appeared on the front cover of a Christian magazine some time ago now. With this text was a picture of Helen's Tower, Clandeboy Estate in Bangor. And those words seem to be so appropriate to describe that wonderful structure, that place of security and safety for a past generation, a place of safety. And as you and I appreciate, our country has had many such towers, castles and places of safety in years long since gone, long since past. These structures are the equivalent to our modern-day underground bunkers, which in time of war are reserved for kings, queens, presidents and prime ministers, preserved for all those who have an essential contribution to make to life. And the same held true in Bible days, when people found their safety and refuge in cities and fortresses which they built. And then they fled to those places for refuge when perhaps an enemy entered into the land or there was some trouble brewing. We can all appreciate how these earthly structures brought great assurance to a nation and people in times of war and distress. They went there for safety. And that was true for the children of Israel, for example. They looked upon Jerusalem, the capital city, not only as a place for worship, the temple, for acknowledgement of God, but also saw Jerusalem as a place of safety when the enemy approached. But Solomon here wrote these words, giving our text to us this morning, is equating our earthly strong power to that true everlasting strength which we have as we depend upon God and trust in God alone. We're here told this morning, as you and I put our confidence in the Lord, walk with him day by day and depend upon him alone for all things, that's our strength. That's our security. Just like a strong tower, something which is immovable, something which is always there for our protection. In the same way as a strong tower was normally built upon an elevated site, set in a high area of ground, it's a place of refuge. So we see here this morning how likewise this speaks for us of our God who is on high, of our God who is one who brings safety and security to our lives, the one who means our all and all to ourselves. And our God continues to bring safety and contentment to our hearts as his believing people. We who are Christians this morning, we who are believers, who testify to the fact we have that great sense of security, that great sense of safety and protection in God our Lord. And how that must reassure our hearts. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. And so my first major heading this morning is this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. You see, friends, the name of the Lord represents for us God's power, God's authority, and God's majesty. And so his name brings great comfort to our lives. He promises to us safety and security in himself. The righteous referred to here are God-fearing people, those who are right in God's eyes. And who are right in God's eyes this morning? Who are righteous this morning? The righteous are those who love God with all their hearts. The righteous are those who are trusting God's Son, Jesus Christ, for all things in life. The righteous are those who are dependent upon the Lord at every turn of life. The righteous are God-fearing individuals. So then, surely for us this morning, the righteous includes you and me. We who are believers, young folks, older folks, we are righteous in God's eyes. Righteous before him. And because we're righteous before him, then we find our safety and our security in our Lord and God through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Oh, friends, think of that for a minute or two. Think of that. If you know in your heart of hearts that you love the Lord, if you're sure in your life through God's word that day by day you're trusting your Saviour, then you're accounted righteous in God's eyes and you're safe in God's care and keeping. Isn't that reassuring this morning? In these days which we live uncertainty, to know assuredly we are safe in the hands of God. The word of God clearly indicates to us that the righteous are those who are right in God's sight. Those who have been justified through faith in the Son of God. Only you know for yourself if you're trusting God's Son for salvation. All the preacher can do this morning from the pulpit is declare that very clearly, the need to do so. But only yourselves know whether or not you're trusting in Christ for all things. But if you are this morning, then you are accounted righteous in God's sight. And in turn, you find your safety in the name of the Lord, your God, your strong tower. In Scripture, there are a number of Hebrew words used when speaking of the Almighty. And I'm going to give to you three words this morning. Many other words, of course. I've taken three words this morning to illustrate more clearly what the name of the Lord really means. Those who are taking notes here, I'm sorry, the Hebrew words I'm going to use just now, but I'll spell the words for you at this point in time. The first word is Elohim. E-L-O-H-I-M. Elohim. This Hebrew word indicates to us that God the Lord is strong, all-powerful, full of might, full of strength. And friends, that is so true of our God. He is truly a great God, a God of power and of strength. And after all, a God any less than that will reach to us. If our God was a weakling or no ability, he knew to us. But our God is truly the Lord God Almighty, full of strength. For our comfort, also notice here that this word seldom occurs in the singular. It occurs more often in the plural, indicating to us just the intense strength, the intense power which our God has. Full of power. Friends, in that coming this morning, our God, the God you and I look to day by day, has all of this strength, all of this authority, all of this power within him. Psalm 95, verse 3 tells us, for the Lord is a great God and great King above all gods. Or Psalm 96 and verse 3 tells us, verse 5 rather, tells us, the Lord made the heavens. Don't those words indicate to us this morning not only a creator God, but a God of great strength, of great power, not limited, but full of power. The name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is one who is full of authority, full of power. The second word referred to here is the word Adonai. I spell it now for you. A-D-O-N-A-I. Adonai. And this Hebrew word is also related to God's power, but it goes even further than that. And it indicates to us here that God rules the earth. God rules the heavens and the earth. That God is ruler of all things. So we see here from the original language in Hebrew this morning, not only is God the Lord full of power and authority, but he's ruler of all things. He rules the heavens. He rules the earth. And more than that, he must also rule in our hearts. As we are submissive to him, as we acknowledge him, so he rules and directs our footsteps and does all things well for us. You and I must be found day by day acknowledging his kingship and royal rule. We as his servants are merely his servants. We're merely his servants. He is our Lord Almighty, our sovereign God. And you and I are called upon then to be submissive and to follow him the lives we live. And then my third word here is the word Yahweh. Yahweh. Again, I'll spell it for you. Y-A-H-W-E-H. Yahweh. Can I say to you all who are taking notes this morning, these are actually Hebrew words for God in the scriptures, but each word has a different slant of meaning to it. So this word Yahweh reveals God as the believer's God, as the God of grace, of love, and of mercy. The God who is love and mercy and his grace does things wonderfully for you and for me in our lives. Don't we often in our talking, in our praying, speak of God's grace? Of course we do. We experience God's grace in our lives continually. And God's grace is God giving to us that which we don't deserve. We know we deserve nothing from God's hand, yet God is still pleased to bless us and pour down his blessings upon us. And this does indeed bring great reassurance and comfort to our hearts. The God of grace. And how you and I have experienced God's grace continually in our lives. Receiving from God that you don't deserve. As I said already to you this morning, we deserve nothing from God. We deserve nothing at all. Yet God is still in his love and grace pleased to bless us continually in our lives. The Jewish people, the Jews themselves, had this suspicious dread of using this name Yahweh. They rarely ever used the name. Indeed, Leviticus 24 and verse 16, which reads, told the Jewish people, he that names the name of Yahweh shall surely be put to death. Consequently, the Jews used this word reluctantly and sparingly. And we did use it. They used it with great reverence and with care. They were very careful to how they used God's name. They recognized this name stressed God's faithfulness toward them. Yahweh, God's faithfulness toward themselves. We do the same ourselves this morning, as we also acknowledge God's faithfulness toward ourselves, as we experience that faithfulness continually. As an aside here, a very important aside, can I also say to you here, Now, the Jews used this name very sparingly indeed. Whatever age we live in today, aren't you and I as believers saddened by the speech of our peoples around us these days? Walk down the street and buy money. You might overhear a conversation. In that conversation, very often the name of God is still in vain. Turn on your television screens, television sets. Continually, God's name is taken in vain. God is not highly regarded. It's a terrible thing when God's name is taken in vain and spoken of crudely. That's why for us all, and especially our young people, church this morning, we must always be very careful in the speech we use and never, ever, ever take the name of the Lord our God in vain. And so these names described to this morning explain to us, tell us here of one who's not only almighty, but one who in his grace and kindness cares for us, his children, cares for us in ever so many ways. And how we are thankful then for the name of the Lord. All that name means, and how it works itself out in our own lives. But let's go further now and see then how God comes to us in his names. First of all, he comes in creation. He comes in creation. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 makes it very clear to us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who else could have done that but an all-powerful creator, God? Psalm 19 and verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The earth shows forth his handiwork. Oh friends, you and I understand this morning that God has placed us in a very beautiful world. The beauty of creation we've seen all around us. Even travelling along the pathway, the roadway to Graz this morning, I observed in several places daffodils growing. Don't you see their colours? What are they but part of God's creation? If you ever watch some of the travel programmes on television, you can view the most extraordinary and majestic views about the world. Wouldn't you and I testify this morning and simply say, God's creation is breathtaking. It's breathtaking. Alas, God's creation is marred and spoiled by men. That's not the point this morning. His creation is still beautiful. Romans 1 tells us that through his creation, God speaks to us all and leaves us without excuse. He comes to us in creation. And those who deny that God is creator of the heavens and the earth, those who deny that God has any part to play in creation, are not only flying in the face of God, but they're adding to their own damnation. Christian friends, this morning, as Bible believing believers this morning, we acknowledge and say very simply, God is the maker and creator of all things. And through his creation, he speaks to us all and comes to us day by day. But then secondly, he comes to us in salvation. In salvation. This is salvation which comes between people through the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ upon this earth. Through Christ's miraculous birth, his substitutionary death, his resurrection, and through his ascension to heaven, the right hand of God the Father, what have you and I got but a great salvation this morning? A great salvation this morning in and through all that Jesus Christ has come to do and has done. You and I have that certainty because of our Lord Jesus Christ means to us. The Lord comes close to us then through that salvation which comes to us in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps some may wonder and ask themselves the question, why is so much reference or so much emphasis laid upon Christ, the importance of knowing Christ and depending upon Christ? Why isn't every Lord's Day in church we always speak of Christ? Why is he always mentioned? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because Jesus Christ is essential. Essential for living and for life. If we've not got Christ in our lives, we're not giving thought to Christ day by day, we have absolutely nothing. Nothing is of any value to you outside of Christ. But when you have Christ in your heart and Christ comes to you in salvation, then you and I have everything that this world could offer to us in and through faith in him. But that salvation is dependent on our coming to and trusting in Christ with all our hearts. That's the message you hear regularly from this pulpit from your minister. As visiting preacher of the congregation this morning, we repeat that same message to you all. You all know your own hearts. You all know where you stand spiritually. You all know whether or not you love the Lord with all your hearts. By trust that you do. And if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, then in him you will find a wonderful sense of peace and contentment in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes upon him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How does God come to us? He comes to us in creation. He comes to us in salvation. Thirdly, he comes to us in providence. In providence. Our great God is a sovereign God. He is sovereign as he works out his perfect plan and purposes for us, his believing children. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, that means that God does everything according to his divine plan. A divine plan which is always perfect as far as we are concerned. Sometimes, you know, you and I can think to ourselves, oh, well, surely God made a mistake there. Oh, that doesn't work there. This doesn't seem right here. Never think of that. Don't let that thought cross your mind. Always understand and see that in every situation of life, in the downs as well as the ups in life, God is working his perfect plan and purpose and doing so perfectly. Can you not testify to that fact? Can you not? As we look back over our lives, over all the years that are past, you and I should be able to take note of the fact that at a particular time, particular structures in life, the Lord was clearly working, doing all things well. Clearly working in this time and working his purposes for us. You and I can think back to occasions in the past when bad things, horrible things crossed our pathway in life. It wasn't easy. It was difficult. Maybe in ill health. Maybe in unemployment. Maybe in financial worries, concerns one thing or another. Right, a problem may have crossed your life and you thought to yourself at that stage, this is terrible, this is terrible. How is God allowing this to happen to me? But friends, surely in hindsight, looking back, you can see how God was at work. How God was doing all things well, drawing you nearer to himself, bringing you through those tragedies of your life. Make you more convinced and assured of his presence and of his help. God comes to us in providence. Yes, hard times do come. Hard times come to us all and will continue to come to us all. But in those hard times, in those times of God's providence at work in our lives, let us accept his will for our lives and let us depend more and more upon himself. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy this morning, far from it. It's not easy. But nevertheless, if you believe at all that God's in control, then you simply submit yourself to his perfection. It's for all these reasons, both in the names and actions of our Lord, that we find him to be a strong tower, a place of safety, and our refuge. Psalm 46 and verse 1 reminds us, we often sing that psalm ourselves, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in our time of need. What a great God we have. So we've seen then, first of all, the name of the Lord. We've seen that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Then my second major heading, final heading this morning. The righteous run to it and are safe. The righteous run to it and are safe. I will explain to you who the righteous are. Believing people, the righteous people. So for you and for me as believers this morning, we're being here told, as you turn to that strong tower, turn to our Lord, we are safe. Safe in God's care and keeping. In light of what's already been said in this address, it is surely obvious to us that our one and only safety lies with our Lord. This safety is what brings great reassurance to us as God's believing people. We live in an age of great uncertainties. We're not sure of anything at all. But our reassurance in God the Lord brings great delight to our hearts. Surely, friends, in the same way as we all ensure our own safety, whether, for example, in our homes, we surely wouldn't have a blazing fire in the living room, then go to that room unattended, with a fire guard been placed in case a coal would fall out of the fire. Those of you who work in the farm, you surely wouldn't work among a cows and a newborn calves, for example. They've been careful to make sure you're on your back and that cow, or a bull, the taiku. We all make preparation for our own personal safety, as I say, whether in our homes or in the workplace. But I'd ask us to consider our own spiritual safety, which is even more important. The spiritual safety as far as our souls are concerned. And so first of all, I would say to you, we are safe in time. We are safe in time. One of the great joys of the believer's life is the knowledge that in all things, the believer is kept by the power of the living God. Kept by the power of the living God. Cast your mind back 10 minutes ago. Consider God, the name of God. An all-powerful God. Now we see this stage. We are kept safe in the power of that God. Every Christian believer should know assuredly that safety which comes in looking to God the Lord continually. Not just now and again, not just occasionally, but doing so at all times. After all, he is the one who will never fail us, nor forsake us. He is always the right hand of the child of God. Friends, that means to you and me this morning then, not in life, when we have to confront dilemmas and concerns, we have the knowledge, knowing that in God's hands, that God is there for us. He'll not leave us to face things alone. His hands upon us. In my pastoral ministry over the years, I have spoken to many a patient lying in a hospital bed awaiting surgery. Awaiting perhaps even major surgery. And they're at peace. They're at peace. How come? They're facing major surgery. Humanly speaking, you would say they'd be tearing their hair out, bringing off their nails, fingernails, with fear or trepidation. But they're at peace. This is because they know, regardless of how the operation transpires, works out for them, that they are saved in God's care and God's giving. And friends, that's how it works out practically for you and for me as believers. That's how it works out for us. We just know because of our relationship with Jesus Christ that we are saved in God's care and giving, and we can face the future with confidence, regardless of how the future turns out for us. We are content in this care and giving. This same principle holds true in every situation of our lives. We're told in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27 these words: "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are everlasting arms." Imagine that this morning, friends. God's arms round about us. God's arms surrounding us. God's arms bearing us up. God's arms there keeping us safe in his care and keeping. That's why I say to you this morning, we are safe in time. Safe day by day in the hands of our Lord and our God. But then secondly, we are safe for eternity. We are safe for eternity. A reassuring doctrine of Scripture concerns the eternal security of God's people. Those who are truly born again by the Spirit of God have this assurance, this certainty of knowing that their salvation can never ever be lost. Their salvation can never be taken away from them. Their salvation is safe in God's care and giving, and they are safe for eternity. For eternity. The perseverance of believers may be defined as the continuous operation of the Holy Spirit in the believer's heart. It is a work of divine grace which has begun in the heart and continued on and brought to completion at death. And so, Christian friends, don't be fearful for your future. Don't be frightened of what lies beyond the grave. You have this assurance this morning, and I have the same assurance, we are safe for eternity. When we are last, the Lord God will call us home to himself. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul tells us there, being confident, this very thing, that he has begun a good work in you will carry it on completion on the day of Jesus Christ. Be confident. Be confident. John tells us in John's Gospel chapter 20 and verse 28, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Friends, these scriptures, many other scriptures, confirm to us this morning that we are safe for eternity. Safe for eternity. When we be our last, we'll be received into glory. And what a comforting thought that is. What a joyous experience that will be for each one of God's believing people. This is the most comforting doctrine for God's children, based as it is upon the scriptures. Pastorally, I find this very reassuring doctrine. Safe eternity. Let me give you an example of this from a pastoral point of view as a minister. Here we have an aged saint of God. This saint of God, be it man or woman, live their lives in dependence upon the Lord, faithful in their church attendance, faithful at the Lord's table, faithful at the Lord's table in prayer meeting, showing forth very clearly their love for their Saviour. In their early days, they lived fervent, faithful lives for their Lord. But then over a period of time, for this believing man or woman, is overcome by illness. The illness is called dementia. They're now confused. They're mixed up. They're not very sure some of the facts of life. Mixed up. No longer can they come to church, the prayer meeting. It may even be difficult to talk to concerning spiritual things because they're so confused in their thinking. What are we saying for that person? Do you say that person, end of your life, because you're concerned, because you're so confused, that no one has hope for you? Not at all. Far from it. Because the certainty and knowledge we have in knowing that we're safe for eternity, that person in their confused state is still a child of God. Their salvation cannot be lost, and they are safe for heaven and for home and every time God calls them to that destination. And so, Christian friends, as God's children this morning, rest assured in that fact of knowing that regardless of how we end our days, that we are safe in God's care and in God's keeping. And that should bring great comfort to all our hearts. On one occasion, I visited with a Christian believer who was on his deathbed. In the course of my remarks, I quote this text to him. After I quote the text to him, remember this man was actually dying. He declared to me quite happily his readiness to his Lord. Then he turned to me and he said, I'm safe in that strong tower. Safe in that strong tower. Friends, make you sure this morning that you're in that tower. In that tower is the Lord himself. And as you flee to that tower day by day and rest upon God the Lord day by day, then you are safe in his care and his keeping. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Righteous flee to it and are safe. What more reassuring word can I bring to you this morning than that? Safe in God's care. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word again afresh to our hearts this morning. Thank you for the assurance it brings to our lives. But as believers, Lord God, just know we're safe in your care and keeping. Safe in life and safe for eternity. Oh, our Lord and God, how we thank you then for this message to our hearts. Amen.